Good morning. I heard a TV evangelist speak the other day. Now, just because a preacher's on TV doesn't mean he doesn't speak the truth, or at least some truth. I'd heard him a few times before. I can't agree with some of the things he says from a scriptural standpoint, yet he makes some good points. And he gives me a different way of looking at gospel principles that ain't understanding. The other day, he was talking about the Christian's responsibility to treat one another, not as the world or the majority treats others, but as God would have us treat them, as God treats us. If Christians don't, he asked, then who will? We can make a difference. And if we did, just think, how much better off congregations would be? How much better off families, communities, countries, the world would be? His perspective caught my attention. It rang true. My ears tuned in when he said he had preached reconciliation for 25 years. Reconciliation with God, with fellow man, the need, the importance, how to go about it. And now more recently, the unrest in the world, country versus country, race versus race, politics versus politics, brother versus brother, was causing him to think. Not that he was coming up with something new under the sun, nor am I this morning for that matter, but that he was seeing things from a new perspective, new for him, through a new lens. And as he unfolded his thinking in light of the scriptures, I too had some insights. Let me share them with you this morning. Our lesson today is titled, Equal. John 1:1 says, In the beginning was the Word, speaking of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, verse 14. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now in Philippians 2, 6 and 7, although Jesus Christ existed in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God. You hear that? Equality with God, a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each are God, equal. They are equal in that they are holy and divine. They are eternal. They created us in their image. They put a plan into place for our salvation before the foundation of the world. They work together as one in unity. Jesus left heaven and came to earth to transform our minds, our hearts, to give us His mind, the mind of God, so we too could be, in a sense, equal to God, not like them, but equal to them in spirit and godly characteristics. When we have the mind of Christ, equality will be of the utmost importance in our dealings and relationships with our fellow man. Take two people and sit them on a teeter-totter, one on each end, of course. First, are they visibly balanced? But yet, if we consider everything imaginable, real balance is hard to achieve, and it's all in the mind's eye of the holder. Are they the same weight? Yes, looks like it. One is Asian and the other is black. Which carries the most weight? In your eyes, which has the most value? One is a woman and one is a man. Which do you value more, trust more, see more useful in the workplace, find more attractive? Is one just as honest as the other? Do they have the same schooling, education? Are they Appalachian, Hoosiers, rednecks, Yankees, black, white, brown, olive? We do the balance math all the time when we look at another person without even thinking or realizing it, most often looking at the wrong things. When God sent Samuel to anoint a new king to succeed King Saul, he was to look on the inside of the man, not on the outside. That's where God looks, on the inside. This is the way God wants us to see our fellow man, our spouses, our children, our parents, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ, strangers, even our enemies. He wants us to look past the stuff that divides us and see the inside. When I was about 10, my uncle took me to see the General, the famous Civil War locomotive. It was on display in Chattanooga before Atlanta reclaimed it. As I was about to drink from the water fountain, Uncle David hollered, "Not there, John! Over here!" My goodness! A 10-year-old white boy almost took a sip from the colored water fountain. I don't imagine the world would have come off its hinges, but most likely it would have been a no-win situation. One might have said, "Oh my, how could you?" While another might have said, "Well, the nerve of you." The arrangement, as it were, was termed separate but equal. It takes the brain or heart no bigger than the size of a pea to understand that while the drinking fountains were separate, they were anything but equal. These inequities are all too common when we do the mental teeter-totter math in our mind. Even supposedly devout Christians engage in teeter-totter math. They end up devaluing of people of various colors. They devalue women. They devalue folks based on all sorts of outward characteristics and circumstances. Proclaiming to be a Christian doesn't make you immune from that way of thinking. This is why Jesus came to earth, to change the minds and hearts of men and women, to share with us the equality, the unity he enjoys with God, so we can see our fellow men in the ways that count and treat them as our equals. We can't be equal in every little detail. We don't need to be. We don't want to be. But we can be equal where it matters. I was only 10, but when Uncle David hollered at me, it felt like something was wrong, like someone was being hurt. I don't know how that came about inside me, but I remember it like it was just yesterday. We can't do that. Hurting someone is not treating them equally in ways that matter. In 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20, Paul refers to the gospel and preaching the gospel as the ministry of reconciliation. Remember when I said the TV preacher had been preaching reconciliation for 25 years? What hit him, what he was coming to understand was that there can be no reconciliation without peace, that there can be no peace without equality. When we apply bias, mental teeter-totter math, and treat others unequally, we destroy the peace, we cause division. We must always realize that Satan is at the root of it all, but still it happens, and we must be aware. We diligently preach and teach to prevent us from straying from Christ. We stress the importance of repentance and prayer when we do stray. Reconciliation is very important. If we become alienated from God, we for sure don't want to remain in jeopardy. And here is where the TV preacher had his aha moment. He had not been putting enough emphasis on developing the mind of Christ. He had not been spending enough energy proclaiming the importance of unity, of being equal with God in the many ways we are allowed and encouraged to be. We cannot be reconciled to God until we have made peace with Him, and we cannot be at peace with God until we are of the same mind as Christ. The same concepts apply to human relationships. Look at all the hate and animosity so prevalent in our country these days. Look what's going on in the Middle East right now. No effort, no law, no election, no political party change, no policing effort can bring reconciliation until peace is achieved. And there can be no peace until we treat one another as equals. This is where the change begins. This is the key to reconciliation. You know, Connie is part Cherokee. Go back 100 years or better, my son and daughter would be called half-breeds and be subjected to a devaluation and rejection by society. The TV preacher grabbed my attention when he said, "You take a black horse and a white horse, You put them together, and what do you get? A baby horse, of course. You take a white sheep and a black sheep, what do you get? A sheep. Simple. But you take a white human and a black human, and all of a sudden, some people don't know what the child is. And they treated us less equal. How does a paint job make a difference? A white car is a car. A red car is a car. A black cat is a cat. A brown dog is a dog. A human being with an eternal soul created in God's own image is one of God's children, no matter the paint job, no matter where they live, no matter this or that or anything you can come up with. How is there ever going to be peace between people when they can't see folks different themselves as equals? And I don't mean going through the motions. I mean truly from the heart, see them as equals. Matthew 22:39-40 tells us that Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I got to ask you and ask me, do you treat yourself as less than equal? Of course you don't. Of course I don't. Do you think that the Samaritan who cared for the wounded traveler on the road to Jericho was just going through the motions? Or do you think that from the bottom of his heart, he loved the traveler as himself? That he treated the traveler as his equal? Well, I can answer that for you. He loved that hurt man as his very own neighbor. He loved him as himself. How do I know? Because Jesus knew. And he used the Samaritan to illustrate his teaching. In the second chapter of James, we learn a lot about equality. Do not show personal favoritism. Do not judge a person's worth by the clothes they wear or the money they have. Don't make distinctions between people based on evil or selfish motives. Don't show partiality. It's no less a sin than adultery or murder. Give more than lip service to those in need. Galatians 5:13-23. We're just going to hit a few of the verses here. Galatians 5:13-23. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Later on, talking about the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of treating one another properly, treat them with joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. In John 4:20-21, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. 1 Corinthians 12:25-26, there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. You know how Paul talked about each part working together and God has placed the parts in the body, human body and in the body of Christ, just exactly where he wants them, and they should work together. But he's also saying they should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. When we have the same empathy for others that Christ has for us, we will hurt when another person hurts. That's a tougher order than rejoicing with another. Hurting with someone is a taller order. A few weeks ago, someone said something to a person I know well and care for, and it caused them to go home and to cry. And it made me cry. The question is, can I love someone I don't know enough to cry with them? Can I love someone I don't like or someone who has hurt me enough to cry for them? Don't be the cause of hurt or shame or harm or remorse. Let people feel your love. Don't make them the butt of your jokes. Don't make them feel like second or third class people. Appreciate them. Build them up. Don't make them feel like they don't belong or have a voice. Don't make them have to guess whether they have a place to stand or not. Don't make them feel useless or unwanted. Feel their hurt when you've hurt them. Serve and honor them. Never get even. Is that asking too much, to treat them as equals? Why do we think God placed us on this earth for a lifetime? I've told you at least once when I was young how I loved that old Rin Tin Tin episode called The White Buffalo and the song they sang on their way back to the fort, single file. They sang, "The legend says you'll find him if your heart is brave and true, and you treat all men as brothers no matter what you do." And I got to be thinking about this the other day. You know, come to think about it, in the very next episode, I can imagine that brother meant the soldier next to you, not the pesky Comanche shooting at you. So we have to remember that when we treat all men as brothers and sisters and we love one another, that's everybody, not the convenient ones or the ones that are like you or the ones you feel like at the moment. It's everyone, especially the ones you may not feel like it, may not feel like. My point is this. Our mental teeter-totter math can blind us to the biases we have. You watch on TV today and you go, "Oh, I don't want to hear that anymore. Turn it off. I can't stand it anymore." But when a person or a group of people stand up and speak out on this or that injustice, pay attention. You will probably learn a valuable lesson and learn to see where your very own blind spots may be. Don't turn people off when they're upset or hurt. Listen to them. Listen to them and treat them equally. You may find that you've been treating a fellow human as being an unequal, as less than human. If we want peace with God and with our fellow man, then let's work on developing the mind of Christ within our own selves, the mind that he brought down from his equality with God. There will be no reconciliation without peace, and there will be no peace without equal treatment. This is our lesson for today. If you would like to reconcile yourself with God, you can begin by making peace with him, by taking on the mind of Christ and following the commandments that were given to us. If you've not become a Christian with the incredible hope of eternal life, won't you repent and be baptized and rise up and walk in newness of life, your sins forgiven, having the hope of eternal life? If you are a Christian and have fallen back into the world, won't you repent and pray to God for forgiveness? If you'd like to become a child of God in the waters of baptism, or you need help returning, just let us know and we can take care of it this very hour. That's our hope for you. Thank you, everybody, for your kind attention this morning. It's much appreciated.